Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. What a blessing to be here in College Chapel, and I just appreciate the opportunity. I'm very thankful for it, and I want to be a help to you this morning. I encourage you in the Lord and let you know that you're an encouragement to others, and just because you're here faithfully going forward, and I want to encourage you to keep doing that. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Thank you, Bill Mitchell and the staff and pastor, for the opportunity and the privilege to stand behind this pulpit and preach to this this group of young people that I very admire much so. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32 through 35. If you would, for 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32 through 35. I want to share something, small admonition today, something that I believe it's a very simple truth, yet so needed and a good reminder. The Bible says there in verse 32, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit, but she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is commonly, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. I want to, for you to notice with me the several times that the word care is used in this passage. Paul says he uses the word carefulness. Verse 33, he used the word careth, and again in 34, he uses it twice. And then he tells us about a life without distraction. I believe that the ministry and the Christian life requires much care. We have an adversary that is looking for any opportunity that we are not careful. An opportunity that we might not be careful with our phones. An opportunity that we might not be too careful with friends, or where we're at, or with the opposite sex. He's just looking for an opportunity where you were not careful. That's all he's looking for. You know, most of our accidents happen because we're not careful. Most of the scars on our body from our childhood is because we weren't more careful. Most of the bumps on our car are because we weren't careful enough. Most of our financial woes are because we weren't careful enough. The Christian life requires much care. I want to talk to you this morning simply on the subject, be careful. Father, please bless today's message as we have already prayed, and we ask, Father, for your presence, because if your presence is not here, if you don't work in our hearts, then it's just words, it's just time, it's just another moment of maybe education, but no transformation will occur. Please, Father, use this simple message and truth to remind us of the care that we must have, every one of us, if we long to finish our race the right way. Please, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Too many are the stories of fallen Christians. Too many are those stories of leaders that once were, pastors that once led, Christian leaders that once inspired us but are no more. Frankly, it's a sad memory, or it's a sad thing to say that many of leaders that once motivated us, that once drove us to serve the Lord and inspired us to surrender more to God, are no longer in the ministry. They're no longer in the ministry. And we try not to speak about it too much because it's not something fun to speak about. But yet it's a reality. There's a lot of students. Many of students have come through these hallways and have sat where you sit today, that once were here wanting to serve, wanting to do what God wanted them to do, but are no longer able to do that. They once were the highlight of the bus ministry, and that one leader, that one couple, that one young lady that just motivated so many, or that young guy that just brought so many people to church, and surely God was going to use him in a great way. Surely, you know, we keep our eyes on that one leader, that one young man, because he showed sparks of potential of leadership, and wow, how God is using him. And sadly to say, is no longer in the ministry. I say that not with a critical heart or a pretentious heart. I say that with a fearful heart, because the privilege of serving God, it's so delicate. It's so delicate that at any moment, if we're not careful, we can lose the entire privilege of serving God the way we get to serve God. I want to highlight this simple admonition. Be careful. I know that it's so common. It normally takes an entire story to rev us up and to get us maybe in tune with what the preacher's trying to communicate to us. Maybe a good illustration that would bring things in the story and connect us to where he's trying to communicate with us so we can grab something. But I want to ask you today to be careful to make sure that you do not leave this chapel without getting something from the Lord. And that's going to require your attention. That's going to require your effort. That's going to require for you to pay attention on purpose and look beyond maybe who is preaching and strive and force yourself to try and hear God's voice through this simple message to your heart. I want you to notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, a passage we're familiar with, but it's Paul admonishing the young Timothy as he is his mentor and his father in the faith, and he's trying to admonish him and encourage him to keep going forth in a very dangerous time in the ministry. And he tells him many times that there's danger, there's doctrinal error, there's the passions of the lust of the flesh and the youth. And he's trying to help this young man get to where he has gotten to by God's grace. And he's telling him many things. But the one verse that stands out that maybe can caption all his admonition is found in chapter 4, verse 16, when he says to him, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee." You see, one of the things that stands out to me is not only he's telling Timothy to take heed, to take care of himself, his worst enemy, the strongest enemy that he'll face is himself. He's also telling him that the most important subject that he needs to take care of is the doctrine, because doctrine determines destiny. And so he's telling him the strongest, the most powerful enemy that you'll face is yourself. And the most important thing that you can take care of is doctrine. Those two things, he says, you need to very carefully take care of and watch out for. And then he says there in the last part of that verse, something that if we read too quickly, we'll just kind of read over it. And it just kind of closes the chapter and it closes the verse. But I want you to pay attention with me. In verse number 16, he says, "For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, someone and only someone that works for the Lord, that is in the ministry, only someone that is in the ministry will understand, only someone that is called will only understand this, that we that serve the Lord do not only live for ourselves, other people depend on us as well. You see, one of the most important things you can understand in ministry is that your greatest adversary is yourself. It's not the devil. It's not this world. Even though they are adversaries, they are temptations that will come. But your greatest enemy is the person you see in the mirror every morning. And the greatest thing you can take care of, the one thing that you can make sure that you need to make sure that you take care of is your doctrine. And the one thing you need to remember above all else is that you cannot afford to live just for yourself. Other people depend on you. You see, we pray for our own self. We go to the Bible for our own self to depend on God. But the reality is that others depend on us as well. When you're married, your wife depends. So the greatest need my wife has, my children have, is not a house, it's not things, it's not clothes, it's not food, is that their father would walk with God, is that her husband would walk with God, because others depend on me as well. When you're in the ministry, like it or not, people depend on you. People need for you to continue going forward, for you to be on top side. Yes, people are clingy. People are dependent. People don't listen to the preaching. People can go through an entire conference and still end up struggling with the same struggles that you say, did you not hear any of the preaching? Yes, it happens because we're sheep, the Bible says. That's how we are. That's our nature. But you know what makes me understand is that even despite all that, God has raised us up to be leaders, to help people to get closer to God. And that's a reality that we cannot escape and we cannot reject. We have to understand that others depend on us as well. That is what the ministry is about. Taking care of you, number one. Making sure you're right with God. Making sure you're on top side. Making sure your heart is protected. Making sure that your spirit is right. Making sure your attitude is right towards God, towards the things of God, towards the leadership. Making sure you're okay, because at the end of the day, if you fail, if you fall, if you falter, if you do anything that makes you not be able to the ministry, you're going to have to blame yourself before you can blame anybody else. The second thing is doctrine. That means it talks about our growth. It talks about our education, an understanding. Paul said it best when he said, I just want to know him, to get to know him. That was his focus in his life. And that ought to teach us that that should be our focus. I know we love sports. I know we love what's going on. And some of us are political and we love listening to the political realms and all that. But our main focus should always be to get to know the heart of God, to get to know the mind of Christ, to get to know him and what his desire is for my life. And you know, I found that the more I study the doctrines of God, the closer I draw myself to him. Sometimes we can be so irresponsible and so careless, may I say, in our reading of the Bible. We're still in our infant stages of Christianity, just trying to read a proverb a day. And don't get me wrong, it's important. I still read my proverb of the day. We're so elemental, we're so immature in our way we study the Word of God. We just want to get through it, maybe our passage of the day or to fulfill the lecture of the year. And that's nothing wrong with that. You ought to have that, but there ought to be something in you that draws you to want to study the doctrines of God, to know who He really is and who Christ is in us and us in Him and who is the Holy Spirit and how to get to know Him and how He can have more control in our life. What about the doctrine of Trinity? What about the doctrine of soteriology? What about these doctrines that we must get to really know? That's why a Jehovah's Witness will do games with us, and we're scared to even talk to anybody that maybe is strong, maybe some Muslim that has a strong stance on the Quran, or maybe some Jehovah's Witness, or maybe some whatever, and we're scared to talk to them about Jesus because they know their doctrine better than we know ours. And shame on you if you're a Bible student and you don't know your doctrine. Shame on you, because it doesn't depend on these teachers. You have the Word of God in your own hand. That's why the devil does what he does in our life. Because we don't know doctrine. You ought to be able to go toe-to-toe with anybody as far as what you believe. You ought to know, not for pride, not for the sake of argument. We're not called to argue with people, but you ought to know what you believe. You're in Bible college, for crying out loud. Some people still even doubt their salvation. Listening to preachers on YouTube and podcasts that aren't even truly saved, that they still doubt salvation, or they're Calvinistic in their belief and this and that. And you're Bible students from Hiles Anderson College? How is that? You're not being careful. You know, I think it's Galatians chapter 5. Who did hinder you? It's always a who that takes us away from the truth of the Word of God. Be careful. Then he says, for your sake and for the sake of others. You say, well, I didn't sign up for that, Brother Gomez. I don't know about that. I just, you know, they need to put their eyes on Jesus and stop looking. But you know what? It comes with it. That's why God calls men. That's why God raises up families and women and men to be a difference in others' lives. And that's what Paul's trying to communicate to us here in chapter number 7, amongst a lot of other things he's talking about. Particularly, he's talking about marriage and the sanctity of marriage and the purity. But I want you to notice quickly with me back in chapter number 7 of the 1 Corinthians, there's just four things I want to encaption with this thought I have for you this morning on being careful. Number one, we must be careful with your own heart. We must be careful with our own heart. In Corinthians, he's talking about he says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. And he goes on, but he that is married careth for the things that are of the world. And then he goes, and it's just verse 34. He says, difference also between the wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord. What he's trying to tell us is that each and every one of us in our own world, in our own situation, we have a responsibility to take care of our own selves. And let me just remind you, and to be careful with your own heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, we know that we are admonished by God to take heed, to protect our own hearts above all else, to protect our own heart, to take care of our own heart, because out of it is the issues of life. In Matthew chapter 15, the Lord talks about it. Matthew 15, verse 19. If you'd go there with me, Matthew 15, verse 19. The Bible says in verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. You see, God is telling us that it's what comes in from within inside of us that will defile us, not from outside. We have to take care carefully of our own heart. You have the responsibility to be careful with your own heart. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful not to take yourself so serious. Be careful not to take things so personally. Be careful to who's talking, and consider who's saying things. They have problems, maybe have issues. Maybe they're not right with the Lord. Maybe they're having a bad day. What I'm trying to tell you is you need to be careful with your own heart. I can't take care of Brother Mitchell's heart, and he can't take care of my heart, but I can take care of mine, and he has to take care of his. We have the responsibility personally to take care of our own heart. And you know how many servants of God lose heart? You know how many people, choice servants of the Lord, lose heart in the things of God, and they go astray, or they lose the desire or their passion, and they don't have that same desire to serve God, or they don't care anymore, and they get an attitude of, I just don't care anymore. It's too difficult. People have hurt me too much, and it's just too hard, and they didn't take care of their heart. The second thing we're supposed to take care of is our testimony. Is our testimony. In Titus chapter 2, if you would, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. The Bible says, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You see, God is calling us to raise above the norm, to protect our purity, our testimony, I'm sorry. To protect our, in Matthew chapter 5, if you go there with me, Matthew chapter 5, God calls us unto a different lifestyle. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible simply says it this way. It says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of, spoken by Isaiah. Isaiah is the prophet saying, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong passage here. Matthew chapter 6, I believe it is. I apologize. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I was right. I was reading chapter 4. Chapter 5, verse 14. I need to be careful. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. We are called to be a light unto the world. We are called to be a testimony of God's goodness, of God's truth, of God's existence, that the word of God is true, that his goodness is true. And we are called to be that testimony. We are to take care of our testimony. Our testimony is probably one of the most valuable things we can have. It comes so easy when you enter into the ministry, but once you lose it, it's so difficult to get back. I had a preacher tell me when I went to go pastor it in Texas many years ago, when I came into staff for the first time, I was a staff member and I was 24 years old and I was just excited to be in the ministry. And the preacher told me this. He said, Andy, when you drove up into your first day of ministry, you drove in with a trunk load of respect, of good testimony, of dignity. You drove in with all that. Just, it kind of automatically comes in with it. Once you surrender into the ministry, people give you that benefit of the doubt and say, come on, and just get in the ministry. And people come to you and will follow you because you're coming into the ministry. But be careful, he says, because if you lose your testimony, that trunk will be the hardest thing you ever feel the rest of your journey in life. You will spend all of your life trying to fill it up again. And you'll never quite get it full like you had it full the first time. Take care of that. Listen, take care of what you're watching on the phone. Take care of your eyes. Take care of what you're looking at social media. Take care of what you're doing. Someone will catch you. Someone will see it. God will reveal it because he has a plan for your life. And once you lose that, you can't take it back. Take care of your conversations. Take care of accepting conversations. Be careful who you're talking to. Be careful what you're seeing. Be careful with yourself. Be careful who your friends are. Be careful where you go, where you're at, when you're at. Be careful with all, because your testimony is so valuable. It is one of the most valuable things you can own, and it's yours. I can't take care of it. No one else can but yourself. If you have a bad day and you tell somebody off and I don't care, but that's your testimony. I don't care if the other person deserved it, but it was your testimony. See, we don't take care of what we're supposed to take care of. We just fumble it so easily. I many times have had to stop the car and pick up some pieces, Brother Mitchell, and in shamefulness that I have hurt someone or failed someone or maybe said something I shouldn't say or maybe was angry at someone and said some stuff I shouldn't. Many times I've had to pull over and hold God's will in my life because I've had to get off and try and pick up some pieces that fell off the truck. Listen, young person, the devil has his eyes fixated on you. And he's thinking, why do I even want to get him down the road anymore? I'll just get her, I'll just get him while they're at Bible college. When you're most vulnerable, when you have bills that you have now, you got to pay for your school bill and you got this and your, you know, romance and this girl's interested and this guy's interested in me and that guy's ugly, I don't want him to talk to me and all this emotional stress you have. And the devil says, that's when I'm going to get him. Because they're so busy. Look at him in the bus route and he claps. Look at her in the bus route and look at it, how busy they are. And look how, look, now they're practicing for an ensemble and they're hours practicing and they're having a good time. And the devil's like, yeah, yeah. And look, now she's running up to the soundboard and now they're running this and now they're doing that. And now they're going to teach Transformers and now they're going over here. And the devil's like, yeah, yeah. Because he sees how little time we spend in the Word of God. How little time we spend on our knees. We get up and teach sessions and we go over our lesson plans and we're ready to teach and impress and this and that and we do this and the devil's like, yeah, yeah. Because he's watching for those slight opportunities where you and I are not careful. You see, there's young couples here that you're flirting with destruction because you're not careful. You think that you're the exception to the rule. And you close up with the guy and the girl and you're very touchy and very this and that, and you hug when you're by yourselves, and you've even kissed each other. Yeah. And who knows what else you've done behind your parents' back, behind the administration of the school, behind spiritual authorities, and you think you're getting away with it. But the Lord knows what you're doing. So does the devil. And he's watching. And he's just saying, okay, when's my opportunity? When they're not that careful. You know what I'm talking about. You know when you're sinning and doing wrong. And you're taking all the measures not to get caught. And you take all the measures not to accumulate consequences because of your sin. You know what I'm talking about. But the devil's just waiting for one opportunity. He said, just give me that one chance. And he doesn't rest. He doesn't sleep. He's just watching and say, oh, okay. Ah, okay. And sadly, it's not until we lose our testimony that we realize how valuable it was. Thirdly, quickly, it leads me to this point. We must be careful, number one, with our heart. We must be careful with our testimony. We must be careful with our purity. Let me just say this statement quickly. God never jumps or skips over purity. God will not skip over purity. If you want God's power, it's got to come through purity. Let me say that again emphatically. God will not skip over purity to give you power. I don't care who you are or what your last name is or how much talent you have or how handsome you look or pretty you are. It doesn't matter what we are. It doesn't matter who we are. God will not skip purity to give you power. He killed priests in the Old Testament that were not pure. Listen to me. He killed Ananias and Sapphira. Dead. Boom. I mean, I want to see that here in house. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. That, it might be me. No, Lord, I'm messing with you. Listen here. Your purity is everything. Your purity starts in your heart. It starts with your testimony and it goes to what we do with our hands, with our feet, with our eyes, with our ears. Your purity is everything. Job made a pact with his eyes so he wouldn't disgrace his Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Lord commands us to keep pure. To keep pure, it's a chore. It's a responsibility that we have to take care of our purity. We have to be pure. It's a daily challenge. It's a daily fight, especially you in being young. You have to be careful with your purity. It begins with your conversations and where they lead you to it. It starts with accountability, letting your parents know where you're at all the time. You ought to share your location with your parents because they ought to know. They ought to be able to look up where you're at any moment in time. You ought to be able to tell people what you're doing, who you're with. You should never be by yourself with the opposite sex. You should never be in a situation where because of somebody else's testimony will make you lose your testimony or question your testimony. You ought to be careful with your purity. Listen, it is worth it to come to the altar pure. It is worth it. I don't care what people say. It's not old-fashioned. God still wants you to come to the altar one day when you get married. He wants you to come pure. That means you, young man, he wants you to come as a virgin. Young lady, he wants you to come as a virgin. That's still God's plan. It's still his will. It's still his desire. And it's our responsibility to take care of our purity. I can be many things to my wife that she might enjoy and she might be blessed by, but there's nothing much more greater than for me to gift her with a life of purity. Same thing with our church family. In any ministry I get to partake in, even this morning here, what a hypocrite would I be if I'd be living like the world, doing something wicked in my own life, and I come up here to try and invest into you and sow into you purity when I have not been. Listen to me. It's so important. God sees it best, and he says, you need to be pure if I am to use you. And that is a responsibility we have every day. Let me ask you, with your boyfriend and your girlfriend, are you pure? Let me ask you another question. With your boyfriend and your girlfriend, are you pure? Let me ask you another question. With your boyfriend or your girlfriend, are you pure? How do you think God will use our life when he sees things in panoramic mode? If we're practicing sin, and God has this in store, and he says, I can't. I mean, I want to use you. Called you to use you. But I need you to be clean. And God gives us an opportunity. And he speaks to us through messages like this. 7 times the just falls and rises up. He gives us so many opportunities. He maybe gets somebody, tells us, hey, stay away from each other. Or maybe a message convicts you in a conference. Or maybe you felt guilty about doing this or that. Or God speaks to us so many ways, but you just keep pushing the envelope. Well, nothing's happened so far. And you know who's down there waiting for you? He's just saying, come on. You know, what kind of music are you listening to? What kind of music are you listening to? I mean, do you have a consistent diet of M&M? Is that what you're listening to? Do you have a consistent diet of those TikTok videos where they're dancing and you love all that? As a matter of fact, you practice it in your room by yourself, what they're doing on TikTok. Is that... You're telling me you're pure when, what's that girl's name, Taylor Swift? She has a greater influence in you than anybody spiritually does. Is that your purity? Is that how you're taking care of your purity? I close with this. We must take care of our heart. We must take care of our testimony, our purity. And lastly, we must take care of our spirit. Of our spirit. In Matthew 5:22, the Bible says this. Matthew 5:22. The Bible says this. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger. Notice the emphasis, in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in what? Danger of hellfire. Listen, I want you to go with me to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 164. The Bible says this. Psalms 119, 164. It says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall what? Offend them. There's a lot of offended people in today's society. It's just everybody gets offended, even in Christianity. Everybody's so sensitive. Oh, I'm offended. I'm offended. I can't believe he said that. Did you see that? He said Taylor Swift. It's Taylor Swift. Just a bunch of oversensitive people. Like, you know what that is? Is we are not in love with the Word of God. That's why we wear our emotions here. And that what that leads to is not taking care of our spirit. Psalms 51:10, David said this, and I'll close with this passage. Psalms 51, please. Psalm 51. Listen, this, I'm telling you something that I've had to struggle with personally, and I've had to fight and overcome personally. Psalm 51:10, the Bible says this in verse number 10. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He says in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Listen here, I close with this. Take care of your spirit. You can't control other people. Man, people walk around like with sour faces and they hate the world, you know, that, you know, walking like this and it's a girl, you know, like, you know. You can't control her spirit, but you can control your spirit. Some people wake up angry and they go to sleep angry. They sleep angry. They hit the pillow and stuff. You can't control them, but you can control you. Listen here. I think it's in James chapter number 2. I'm thinking of in Spanish, la ira del hombre no puede obrar la justicia de Dios. James chapter 2. I apologize for that. Someone help me find that passage, please. The wrath of man cannot work the righteousness. Did I say that right? The wrath of man cannot work the righteousness of God. You know why we're so cluttered in our spiritual life? Why we're so stagnant in our spiritual life? Because our spirit isn't right. It's so hard to preach, to teach, to serve others when my spirit is just... How's your spirit this morning? How's your spirit towards Howells Anderson College? Oh, yeah, just on perfect. On the day we have to pay our bill. How's your spirit with regards to paying your bill? How's your spirit with others? How's your spirit with Brother Collins? Just give us a word. You know, it is our responsibility, not anyone else's, to take care of my spirit. There's nothing worse than for me to come home with a bad spirit. I remember once I was coming home and I had a terrible spirit. My wife called and said, honey, do you think you can pass by and get some milk, some bread? I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm like, all right, I'll pass by. And she said, you know what, babe? Don't worry about it. I'll go. I was like, no, what? That's like World War III. I'm like, oh. What? I'm like, she's like, honey, if you need to, maybe pull over somewhere. Maybe spend some time with the Lord. She said this. Listen, I'm thankful for a godly wife because this is what she said. She said, because really, if that is your spirit now, wait till you get home when you have kids waiting on you. Pampers to help me with. Toys to pick up. You might as well just wait a little bit. And I'm talking, what? You know, I'm thinking, I'm the man of the home. I'm going to go home right now. I'll pick up that gallon of milk. And sure enough, as soon as I hung up with her, the Holy Spirit told me, she's right, dummy. And I called her and said, babe, you're right. I pulled over and took another exit in the freeway. It went down by the cliffs over in San Pedro where you can see the water. It was late, maybe 7, 8 o'clock at night. And I jumped. Just kidding. Just kidding. Leading up to that. Listen. And look it, I'm here. Listen. Listen. And I had to spend some time with the Lord. At least 2 hours on my face in the grass, watching those waves break on the shore, and just reminding myself and God reminding me how little I really was. As I was near to those great cliffs, I just remembered how small I really was and how small really my problems were. And I shed tears that night and I got right with God. I came home, and as soon as I walked in, the kids were in bed already and she was waiting for me, and she came up to me and gave me a hug. She said, babe, I was praying for you. And she said, you don't have to say one word. I can already see a different spirit on your face. I'm thankful for a wife that had a right spirit. Or else I wouldn't be alive today. Listen, how's your spirit? I'm trying to make some of you guys laugh because some of you guys are like, literally. Like if looks can kill, sure, I'd be one hot tamale, man. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. When's the last time you smiled? Maybe you didn't brush your teeth so well, right? But listen, that is the key to a happy ministry. When you learn to laugh at yourself and laugh at what's going on around. Take care of your spirit, because if you don't, you do not understand that there is an enemy waiting. He's just waiting for you and I not to be careful. That one day, that one Monday, that one Thursday, whatever, to trounce all over you and destroy you and leave you with nothing, because you were not careful. Father, please bless today's message, Father, Heavenly. Father, please work in our hearts. Help us to be careful, Lord, with what you've given us, with our families, with our children, with our ministries. Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy and your spirit that helps us every day. But, Lord, it is our responsibility to be careful. Would you please, Father, bless the student body. Young people, if there's things that you need to speak to the Lord about, why don't you take care of them right now? Take care of them right now. How's your Bible reading? How's your prayer life? How's your spirit? How's your heart? How's your purity? Are there some decisions you need to make today? Then take care of that before it's too late.